Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. So glad to be here today with you all in person. This is really exciting. And amen. Hallelujah. What an overcoming. Just to be here, to be one with all of you, to be blended. And the most important thing is that we, listening and fellowshipping and speaking, we touch the Spirit. Amen. So praise the Lord that He is the Spirit in our spirit. Amen. And He's here to saturate us and permeate us and to speak to us in our spirit. So may we hear what the Lord is speaking to us.
Amen.
So this topic, towards the world, what is a Christian's attitude towards the world? This is so crucial, and I'm so burdened for this view, that we could all have such a view, because this is really practical in our experience. And this is based, if you didn't know, on some speaking from Watchman Nee in 1936. So, and it's so, it's just timeless, and it's so amazing that he spoke this word so long ago, because he asked this question, how should we approach these matters? You know, there's so much going on in our world, in the world situation, then, and just even the same as now. There's, there's injustice, there's inequality, there's people suffering different hardships, poverty, hunger, sickness, all sorts of things, economic struggles, and even then, the question is just as relevant as it is now. So what is our attitude? How do we approach these things? Well, it says, what is the attitude of a Christian towards these things? Well, what is the attitude that others outside of the church would take this? And so they see all these issues and problems, and I think the natural reaction is to do something about it.
Right.
You know, there's a brother I fellowship with regularly, and he's a manager at the company he works at, and he's kind of read up a little bit and observe the ones he's worked with, and he says, you know, among millennials, what they really want, especially when they're entering the workforce, they want to do something that's important.
Amen.
And they want to make an impact.
Right.
And I think that really speaks to an innate quality in all of us. You know, we want our lives to have purpose, to have meaning. And so these, you know, younger ones, early in career ones, maybe some of you exiting college, finding your first job, you want to do something that's meaningful, important. And when you look at the situation in the world, there's so many difficulties and problems. You just want to solve it all.
Right.
You just want to tackle it and take it out and make all the bad things go away and not let bad things happen to good people anymore. But there's a problem with that. And Ben covered that in his first message, is that we're all in the same boat. So anything man would try to do is going to fall short. Why? Because man is already fallen. So if man tries to build a system or a program or some policies that try to solve problems, fix problems, it'll be effective to a certain extent, but ultimately, that system is going to be broken. Because it's made by broken people, essentially. And the view in the world doesn't have that same humble view that we have. They don't have such a realization. They think, I'm just new, I'm just young, and I have all this potential, and I can do something about it.
Right.
They don't have a view that there's anything wrong with me. It's almost as if sin doesn't exist. There's no root of evil in me. And actually, the only tree they pay attention to is the tree of knowledge. And knowledge is like the king. Knowledge is like the top. But the fact is that there were two trees in that garden.
Amen.
And so you might just ask, well, why? What was that tree doing there anyways? Why did, if God wanted us to have himself as life, and he is the tree of life for us to enjoy and experience, to be filled with, what was that other tree doing there? And so we need to see some things, right? We need to see the situation we're in. We need to realize the age we're in. And we need to realize the time of the age. And And so the reason we're in this situation has been covered very, very well and very thoroughly is that sin came in. But even that, he said there was an instigator, right? So how is there an instigator? Well, we need to realize in our struggle with these matters and in our daily life, even if we're involved in some of these human solutions, there is an enemy towards God. And he is fighting against us. He's fighting against what God is trying to accomplish. He has his own will. And that is the meaning of those two trees. Those two trees represent two different wills. And so how could God allow this? Well, God is so great and he is so wise that he allows such a thing to occur because ultimately he wanted to be our Savior. Amen. And he wanted for us to realize the full depth of him being our life to us. Amen. And so even in the midst of evil opposing factors coming in, God is not bothered. God is not worried because he knows that even then he can still be our salvation. So I'm going to read Romans 1. To be proper Christians in the world situation, we must first realize three things. +1. The sovereign triune God is on the throne of the universe. Amen. 2, there is a war going on in this universe. 3, we are not warring with flesh and blood. And 4, as humans, we are on this earth for a particular reason, to accomplish Jehovah's eternal purpose. There's so much here. There's so much to unpack. Actually, there's a whole lot to say. I'm not going to say it all, not really because of time, mostly because I can't remember it all. So my message might not be that long or in-depth. But, you know, the first point, God is on the throne. Amen. His throne is unshakable. There's nothing that can remove God or shake God off his throne. He is the sovereign one. It doesn't mean that he is behind the enacting or the carrying out of all the evil things in the world, but even in the midst of such things, he is still in control, and ultimately, he will reign. So I might not read every point, but I do want to read point 2, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High is the ruler over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills and sets up over it the lowliest of men. Amen. So he is the ruler over all. So we're living essentially in the kingdom of men. We're living under the rule of a government. Right. We live in a certain country. We have to follow the certain policies in our, you know, local area. But you could say the government is kind of like the reigning of men among men. And as we pointed out, it's necessary. We need it. And if we didn't, there would be no end to our lawlessness. Right. Right. But it's men that are making these laws. And it seems that the more laws that are being made, the more lawlessness there is. And even the law point is a picture of whoever made the law. And so, actually, God gave us a law in Exodus. He gave us the commandments. And those commandments are just a portrait of himself. It's just a picture of who he is. And so, man tries to make a similar attempt and make laws to keep order and justice. Right. But I think we're all quite aware, and many have voiced quite loudly, that this falls far short. And there's so much more injustice in the world. So everything that man tries to do is ultimately falls short. Okay, point B. The entire universe is in a war between Satan and God, and they are battling over the will of man. So first, before the fall of man, there was this instigator, the devil, Satan, and previously, but even before that, before time, he was actually a servant of God. But he turned away from God, and he looked upon himself, and he thought he was so glorious. And then he said that he could be just as great or even as high as God. And he says, I will. I will. So he turned away from God and he looked upon himself. And this is just such a characteristic of the enemy, just full of pride and full of boastfulness. And he turned away from God and he caused a rebellion. So there's a rebellion in the heavens. And that rebellion is still going on today. And even that rebellion is the root of sin, which we all experience. So even in us, when we have that element of sin, we still have an element of rebellion in us. And so there's these separate wills and they are opposed. And Satan's will, I don't even know if he has an end game, so to speak, but he is trying to deter God from reaching his goal, and he will try everything in his insane mind that he can to keep us from it. And now after man fell, his spirit was essentially deadened. So deadness set into man, and this permeated all of mankind. And the spirit, which formerly was connected with God, its intuition, its direct communion and knowing of God was cut off. And the spirit was no longer the leading part of man. But instead, man's soul took over and became the soul life. It had it's a life of its own. And then its desire is just to fulfill itself. Right. And this is the reason why when Cain left the presence of God, he went out and he created human culture. He created entertainment and defense and music and all the things to fill the soul. And basically, man, apart from God, he just seeks to satisfy his soul. There's a really good verse in Philippians 3:19. It's just a snippet of a verse, but this is Paul talking about some other opposers and dissenters. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their stomach. It's just like, oh, we just all seek to be filled, just whatever we can contain. And so this is part of Satan's strategy, is to fill your soul. So God's will is also to fulfill your soul, to spread out from your regenerated spirit, to saturate and constitute your entire being. Well, Satan, he likes to rush in and get there first. And so he has devised every manner of distraction. If ever there was one, I'd say now is the age of distraction. And with everything you can think of, every device can take you anywhere in the world, to the pit of hell, to try to satisfy you, to distract you, and it's just all falsehood. It's all a lie. And so it's a kind of eating. You know, God, you know, we just sang that we can eat and drink God, but everything we take into us, into our soul, is a kind of eating. You have your Facebook and your Twitter and Instagram and your CNN and your news feeds. It's called a feed you're actually taking it in because you're just feeding on all these things. And so this is the ground where this war is taking place. The battlefield of this war is man's soul. And it is the human will that chooses the path, which way it takes, right? So that's why the will is so crucial. Actually, in the salvation of man, the will is the most important thing. Because if you think about it, your mind, can you ever reach God with your mind? Can you contain the thoughts of God with your mind? Or do you have a love that's enough to reach God with just your love? No, but your will can choose God. And when you choose God, then he can come into you. So every day, this war is just raging. It's in our midst as soon as we wake up. Before our feet even hit the floor, this war is going on. And so we need to be aware of it. And we need to be aware of his tactics. Okay, so though countless people unwittingly align themselves with Satan, our enemy is not other people. Our enemies are Satan and his demons and evil spirits. So this war we're waging, I think we all realize it's within ourselves, but the enemy is all the evil spirits in the air and the world rulers, but it's not against individuals. And so people will come and challenge you on what your attitude is towards the world and certain matters. And that is not the time to wage war.
Right.
When you're asked a question like that and to reason and debate. Reason is just such a quagmire. It's just a trap. It's a way to reel you in because you think you're being reasonable and logical. But it's on the other tree. So we don't need to participate in those kinds of conversations, but we need to realize that the person asking it is a person that God wills to save. And so we're not fighting against that person, but there may be forces of darkness that are blinding them to the truth. And so they are maybe just a testimony of the world, but we need to be those ones who are the anti-testimony, who stand for God's word and God's position, which according to the world is very unpopular because we don't stand for ourselves or we don't stand for any one good thing, but we're a testimony of God. Okay, so, and here's just a real important crux. Our purpose on earth is not social reform, but it is to bring in the kingdom of God. So as members of the church, those joined to Christ, our position is that we care for what God cares about. We want to bring in his kingdom. We want to accomplish his goal. And that's our primary function. And that is actually the work of the church, is to save sinners, to save men, to take care of the problems of sin and sanctification. And we do this by ministering the word. And this is our right, our commission. And so some may say, well, that's good that you want to talk to me about the Lord and you want to bring me to the Word and to God, but what about all these other matters? I've been asked this more than twice, right? But as Ben covered in his message, there is a solution to all those problems.
Amen.
But if we had the best people working on the best solutions, the best policies and programs to take care of people's outward physical needs, there's still an inward need that needs to be met. And ultimately, even if their outward conditions are good, they still have the inward problem of sin.
Right.
So that's when, in Christ and his coming, he dealt with the heart, the root of things, not with the symptoms that were caused by it.
Amen.
So we were commissioned to do something. We were, by the one who has all authority, given the authority. He says, all authority has been given to me in heavens and on earth. Go and disciple all the nations. Discipling all the nations, baptizing into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And behold, I am with you unto the consummation of the age.
Amen.
So this is our charge. This is what we're commissioned to do, to go to all these ones in the world, to bring salvation to them, to be that anti-testimony, the manifestation of Christ in our human living that can bring them to light, to bring them to salvation, to minister life to these ones.
Amen.
So in that, we are co-workers with Christ.
Amen.
We are helping carrying out the commission that he has given us to spread his word to this world. So, again, I better keep moving. Romans 2 kind of bleeds into that. As proper Christians, the most important thing is that we maintain our vessel and have a life, living, and expression that is of God and worthy of our calling. It is not what we do that will turn the age and accomplish God's eternal purpose, but it is who we are that matters.
Amen.
So it's not what we do. Even in our gospel work, it's not about having a big work. And what are your numbers? And what have you accomplished? You know, if we're being diligent, we need to know all these things and do all these things. But the matter is, who is the one doing it?
Right.
You know, there are ones, just an example from the gospel, is some may come to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, I did so many things for you. I cast out demons in your name. But he says, I never knew you. So these were not ones that were functioning out from their constitution and life of the Lord, but ones that were, you could say, toiling in themselves or doing something according to their own self or their own understanding apart from Christ. So we are joined to him, and we need to live according to this life, and out of these things will come the genuine gospel work and the ministry of the church to fulfill the work of the evangelists, apostles, prophets, shepherds, and teachers. and in that, we are gaining the members of the body of Christ. We're being constituted with him and building up the body to be his bride. So all the problems today, this is such a good quote from the reading, all the problems of today are caused by man being out of order. It is because man is evil that the system becomes evil. Since man is evil, no system can be good. Even if he is able to set up a good system, his evil nature still does not change. He can do nothing. Amen. So what can we do? In ourselves, we can do nothing. I think we realize that. But we are just the testimony of Christ, and we just bring Christ to people. So we need to maintain our vessel. We need to gain God every day. And even as we take him in and we're being constituted in ourselves with Christ, this is to help build up the body of Christ to be the testimony of the corporate Christ on the earth. So even in your private time with the Lord, your Bible reading, your ministry reading, or in the twos and threes, the whole body of Christ is involved because you're helping constitute the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, so B. The normal Christian living, that is the Lord Jesus living his life through us, is salt and light. So in the Gospels, I think this is part of the Gospel of the Kingdom or the Sermon of the Mount section. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Amen. So what does that mean? So it says in the point, salt preserves life and kills germs. So, and salt has a very strong flavor. I mean, you could probably take a teaspoon of sugar and swallow it and be fine. But have you ever taken a teaspoon of salt? Or worse, have you ever tried to bake something and use the salt instead of the sugar? It is. But salt is so strong. And it does, in its high concentration, it prevents germs and bacteria from continuing to live. And that's how it preserves also, too, right? So salt is to preserve dead things from decaying or being corrupted further. So there's a lot of dead things in the world. And when we're among those in the world, we are the salt. And we can add the salt to that situation. This kind of bleeds into the next point too. But there's a particular essence when people encounter it. Us. There's a saltiness, and it says, don't let your salt lose its saltiness. Amen. Don't let it become without flavor, because then it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing except throwing out into the manure pile, I mean, trampled underfoot. So in your environments, you're a God man among men, among fallen men, and they should be able to sense that there's something different about us. If we're just entering in with whatever they're doing, we're the same as they are, and we have no saltiness. It's as if our spirit were unregenerated. Amen. You know, the Lord Jesus, he ministered to all sorts of people, sinners, tax collectors, criminals of different sorts, and he was with them. He was among them, but he never went to enter into where they were or where they were from. He didn't. He was most of the time in the homes, right? And that's the perfect place to preach the gospel to someone, is in the homes, even a corporate gospel. Even if we're not preaching the gospel individually, if we get them to the homes, we can preach it corporately with the other saints. But the Lord never compromised his testimony, and he never entered into any dark situation where he just entered into what was going on there. And we should be wise in the same, because we still have the flesh and we can still be tempted. And so it's not that we are distancing or separating ourselves off from any, you know, spectrum of the population, but we need to be wise in the way we do that, right? And to make sure that we are the salt and we're not just the flavorless ones going along with the tide of the age, right? Amen. So also, likewise, we are the light of the earth, and we have the light in us, and when we go somewhere, it just exposes the situation. Right. And ones that were just living in their sinful life, they may not realize the sin that they're in, but when they see us, if they're participating in something, and then we're the testimony of those who are just living Christ, just spontaneously, they'll be exposed, and maybe they'll even stop what they're doing, or you come to their house and maybe they'll put certain things away or out of sight. It's not that you told them or you came into their house and said, hey, this is filthy, you've been involved with some bad stuff here, and you need to clean up or clear it out. We just enjoy Christ, and we're just the expression of him, and spontaneously, we're his testimony. Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord. So ultimately, everything will get wrapped up. Everything will have a glorious conclusion. But we don't address all the symptoms and all the things and the evils of society. The Lord didn't do this. He was not a social reformer, as some might try to claim that he is. He was not a revolutionary. He was not an insurrectionist. You know, it was interesting. When the Lord was arrested, and he was brought to Pilate, and he was tried, Pilate basically said, I can't find anything wrong with him. And he says, I have the habit of releasing one prisoner on whatever occasion that was. And they said, should I release him? And they said, no, crucify him. And the Jews, of course, stirred the people up. And they said, release Barabbas. And Barabbas was an insurrectionist, which means he challenged authority. He was stirring up people to start a movement. And then also, he was a robber and a murderer. And it's just, that's so amazing that you have the Lord, but of course by God's sovereignty, things were carried out. But just the opinion of the people just goes with whatever's popular and whatever they think is going to evoke change. But praise the Lord. The Lord will have a glorious conclusion, and nothing can deter him from his goal. But he needs man in his economy. He cannot do it without man. He needs a bride. He needs that testimony on the earth, because he needs someone to come back for, and he's longing to come back for his bride. Amen. And we want our days on this earth to matter. That's we right. want them to have value before the Lord. Right. We want to every day, these are the days of preparing. That's the age we're in, and the age is ending fast. The Lord wants to come back, and so I don't know, the cry within me is, I don't want to remain the same. Lord, I don't want to remain the same. I need to be constituted. I want to be part of that loving bride, and to bring all those with me to be part of the bride, so that the Lord can reach his goal. So praise the Lord. The Lord is going to gain his kingdom, and the next message is going to be a glorious conclusion. So Amen. Praise the Lord.